Okay, this is March the 18th, 2012, the year of our Lord, Zion Baptist Church. We continue in Psalm 119 for our 10 o'clock service. Psalm 119. I believe we're over at about verse, I want to say 65, but I can't seem to find where I finished 57 through 64 there. I know I covered some of those things. I'd like to read those again anyway, starting at verse 57, and we'll read through 72. Psalm 119, we'll begin reading at verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on thy ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Our God, we thank thee for the reading of your word and pray your blessings upon it, Lord, that it might accomplish that which you send it out to do. Lord, to convict us of our sins, to encourage us when we're discouraged, Lord, to lift us up, Lord, to help us, to enlighten us to the truth of thy word, to strengthen us in the inner man. Please help us, O God. Please bless your word. Please help thy servant as he attempts to expound upon your word, Lord, and feed your sheep. Please have mercy in Christ's name. Amen. I know we covered 57 through 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. In other words, just because the wicked do wicked things does not mean that I forget the word of God and join in with them to do the wicked. You could say the company of the wicked or the companies of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. We keep the word of God even when others do not. We are obedient to the word of God even when others do not. You don't let what other people do control what you do. And that's a learned thing that it's not always easy to hold your tongue. It's not always easy to refrain from letting our emotions, our anger, sinus, or our retaliation when we feel that people are coming against us for one reason or another to retaliate, that's natural in us to do, and therefore it is a restraint on our part that we don't join in with them. The bands or the companies of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. The commandments of God ought to always be upon our mind, upon our heart, and remember them like Joseph did at Potiphar's house. Even though he was tempted and tried, he would refrain himself and said, how can I sin against my God? And refused to do so, and it cost him years in prison because of it. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. To me, not only is this David awaking out of his sleep, and when he does, he gives thanks, but to me, this is David, his desire and his sincerity in the worship of God, his appreciation for what the Lord has done for him, in afflicting him, as he says down through 65 through 72, he understands that his afflictions were helpful unto him, in bringing him unto God's Word and to remember the law of God. And so David says at midnight, so I'm encouraged here. David is encouraged that he will rise up to give thanks unto the Lord at midnight or in the night hours, just to show his appreciation and his gratitude, and also to come before the throne of grace that he might have mercy. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Therefore, it's the reason the Scripture says for us to pray for one another. It also says for us to entertain strangers, for we know not whether or not they be of God. We do not fail to preach the gospel or to be a witness unto men because we think that they are this way or that way. Now, we are careful not to cast our pearls before the swine, lest they trample it under them and turn and rend us. And those things you just have to judge for yourself, and the Spirit of the Lord leads you when to and when not to. But if you were in a company of drunkards, you wouldn't want to try to preach the gospel to a bunch of drunks. They're not going to hear you. They're intoxicated. They're being controlled by alcohol or drugs or whatever it may be. And so you wouldn't want to preach to them at that time. There's a time and a place for all things, the Bible says, and so we understand that we're companions, we're brethren with all of them that fear the Lord and of them that keep thy precepts. Like we've always said since I've been here, it's always been about obedience and begging the Lord's forgiveness when we are disobedient. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. David well understood that it was only by the mercy of God that men were still upon the earth and breathing. Even those who do not worship him, they are still used to fulfill his purpose. Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, heathens, infidels, atheists, believers alike, they are all used to fulfill the purpose of God while we're on this earth. God did not create sin, but he certainly uses those evil men to fulfill his purpose and also to keep his people humble before him. Also to make his people to be very thankful and appreciative that the Lord has redeemed them, that he has enlightened them to the truth of his word. When we see heathens and worldly people live the way they live, it ought to cause us to be very grateful and very thankful that the Lord has had mercy upon us. It ought to cause us to be very obedient to him and to beg for forgiveness when we're not. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. All over it, everywhere, the Lord is very merciful to this earth and to the people on it. Teach me thy statutes. Thou hast dealt with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Meaning that all the promises that God has promised his people, he has been faithful to fulfill those promises to his people. In sending the Messiah, in sending his son to redeem his people from their sins, never leaving us nor forsaking us, sending us the Spirit of God to live and to dwell in us, to convict us of our sins, to comfort us, to remind us of the Word of God, to bring those things to our remembrance when they're needful and when they're needed. The Lord has promised His justice and His judgment upon the evil and the ungodly, even though it seems to some that it may tarry. It has been very settled in my spirit, in my mind. That's the reason I don't worry about things. I know that God has all things in control. He knows how to deal with his people. He knows how to tend to his people. So there's no need for me to fret nor to worry about it. Included my children, including my family and my loved ones and the people that I'm close to. I don't have to worry about them. The Lord knows how to deal with them, and He will deal with them. He don't need my help. He don't need your help. The Lord knows how to take care of His own, and He will. He knows how to punish. He knows how to afflict. He knows how to discipline and to scourge when it's necessary, and He knows how to show much mercy. He knows how to show much tenderness and kindness, like He always does. He's a wonderful God. So there's no reason to fret or to worry. David says, Thou hast dealt with Thy servant, well with Thy servant, O Lord, according unto Thy word. The promises of God hold true. I've said this several times before, especially here of late. I'll say it again today, that not all people understand that. And many people fret and worry about all the things of life, and they seem to fret and worry about people that don't do just like they think that they ought to. God's the giver of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You can't do that, nor can I. It is out of our hands. We witness, we preach the gospel, we set an example before people, but we cannot save them. The Lord saves them. We bring there before the throne of grace, asking God to have mercy upon whom He will, and He does. So don't worry and don't fret about other things, about other people. You pray for them. You have great confidence that God's will is going to be done. Part of my prayer is, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that it is. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. David, knowing that he's believed the Word of God, and he's again coming to the throne of grace, asking that the Lord teach him good judgment, understanding of the Word of God, and knowledge concerning His Word, how to deal with people, how to deal with every situation that he comes with, according to the Word of God. The Word of God has got the answer for everything that comes into your life or anybody else's life. There's an answer in the Word of God for it. It is a whole truth. You cannot pick and take parts and pieces out of it and try to prove a point. This is the truth. It is the whole truth. But it's from the beginning to the end, not just pieces in between. It's the whole truth of God. It's the whole will of God. It's His Word. And so David is pleading with the Lord, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. We know David's situation. We know where he was and what he did. And before he was afflicted, he went astray, as all believers do. And when they go astray, the Lord afflicts them, and they quickly return to Him. That's part of our growing experience. It's part of our pilgrimage and our sojourning through this earth. It's what teaches us the mercy of God, the goodness of God, is how that the Lord brings affliction upon His people to teach them to be humble before Him and to teach them to be obedient. You say, well, I don't think that's right for the Lord to afflict His people. You can start way back over here in Genesis, and you can read it all the way to Revelation, and it's always been the same. The Lord afflicts His people. He teaches them. He told David, don't you kill all them Philistines. I will use them to teach my people. I'll use them to humble my people. And he also said, I'll use them to teach my people war, how to fight. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. And that's a good thing. And David understands that to be a good thing, that the Lord is good in everything that He does and doest good to all of His people. Even though it may not seem so to us, everything that the Lord does for us and to us is for our eternal good. Teach me Thy statutes. All the way through Psalm 119, David is continuously asking the Lord to teach him His commandments, teach him His word, because he knows it is in the word of God is the will of God. And David doing the will of God is what causes much peace to be upon a believer. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what enemies of ours have to say about us. It doesn't change a thing. Doesn't matter what the government does. Doesn't change a thing concerning the way that we live. We still keep the Word of God. We still do the Word of God. So we don't have to fret and worry about governments and who's going to be the president. And not meaning that we ought not to participate and that we ought to do everything that we can to get good people elected. But the outcome is left to the will of God, and so it will be. So the proud, or the haughty, the evil, have forged a lie against him. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. In other words, their heart is fat with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. It is fat with the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of the flesh and the pleasures of this world. It is not fat with the Word of God, or lean, should I say, with the Word of God. But David says, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. What a wonderful verse. David understood that it was good for him that he had been afflicted. You've known people yourself, and you know people, when they had been afflicted, become very angry at what they consider to be God because they had been afflicted. Not so with David, not so with true believers, or at least not for very long. They quickly understand that it was a good thing for them that they had been afflicted, that they might learn the Word of God. When you're afflicted and laid up in the bed for a long time, you've got plenty of time to contemplate all the things that you've done and the goodness of God and the goodness of His Word. The law of my mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The law of thy mouth, I hope I read that correctly. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. So it doesn't matter how poor a man is or how he may be impoverished from the things of this world, the law and the Word of God is still much better than much gold and much silver or all the worldly possessions and all the worldly goods. Paul appears to be, seemed to have been a wealthy man prior to his conversion. But afterwards, it appeared to me that he hardly had the wherewithal to put clothes upon his back. Even though he worked and churches helped him, he had no savings. He had no wherewithal other than by working with his own hands just to provide his meals and some clothes upon his back. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And I pray that it would be so with us, that the Word of God would be much better unto us in our hearts and our minds, would be more valuable to us than gold and silver and the things of this world. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. We know the Lord made us. He created everything that there is. The Son of God Himself created all that is, and the earth and everything that is in it, for His own purpose and according to His own will. David, understanding that, says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. You've made me what I am. You've caused me to be, and where I'm at, you caused me to be here. You put me where you wanted me. Now give me understanding that, there's that again, I may learn thy commandments. The reason David wanted understanding about life and about the Word of God was so that he may learn the commandments and the will of God. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. All believers are always glad to see other believers. It's always a comfort to know that there are other true believers that are praying for one another, that are supporting one another, and that are of the like faith with them And so David here says that they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. It's a wonderful thing to know and to understand that the afflictions of God are for our good, that the judgments are right. We've never been judged unrighteously. We've never been judged wrongfully. We've always been judged aright when it comes to God judging us. It's always a righteous judgment. And thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. He's faithful to do those things that are necessary for his children. That's the reason we don't have to worry or fret about others, family, friends, especially our children, our loved ones. You don't have to worry about them. If they are the Lord's, he is going to deal with them and take care of them. And if they are not, he will leave them to themselves. And he has righteously done so. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. In other words, the Lord had promised David comfort when he was obedient and when he was humble before him, when he learned from his afflictions. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Excuse me. Or to comfort me. And that's what the Word of God does. People that are discouraged or people that are hurting for one reason or other can read the Word of God and be very comforted. How many times have people been on their deathbed knowing that they were about to die, like Brother Jesse Holcomb, found comfort in the Word of God, so much so that he could tell the people when he stood before them, don't cry for me. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with the Lord. So that's a great comfort to people, when not only for Brother Jesse and people like him who have been comforted by the Word of God, but also unto others that look upon them and see such grace bestowed upon them. And that's nothing but faith. And faith is a gift of God, and God gives it to his people that they might be comforted. He gives the Spirit to comfort us and to witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. You can't reason that out in your head. Talked with a fellow this week, and that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to reason out in his head how things progress down through the ages concerning religion, concerning God, the Jews, Christianity, trying to reason it out in his head. And then when I had the opportunity to tell him that faith is a gift of God, you can't muster it up, you can't wish it, it's a gift, and not everybody has it. God gives it to whom he will. And those that have the gift of faith believe the word of God, just like it's written. I think that worried him a little bit, that he didn't have something, and that he couldn't get it on his own. That'll humble a man. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. So David here praying for the mercies of God that he may live. He appreciates his life. He appreciates the time that he has upon this earth, and that he might live. Every man wants to live. You watch any man about to be attacked, and he's going to defend himself. Why? Because he wants to live. He don't want to die. He has no, God give him this life, and he should want to live. We have a purpose for living. We have family to watch over and to provide for, to teach the Word of God, to set an example before. So David prays, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, and live according to the Word of God, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, those that are haughty and high. They're high and lifted up in their own selves and in their self-righteousness, thinking that they're going to heaven because of something that they've done. And there's millions like that today. There are millions of people today that think they're going to heaven because of something that they have done and or are doing. That's self-righteousness. And no man will enter the kingdom of God with self-righteousness. You remember what Jesus said. That if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're in trouble. Because their righteousness was self-righteousness. They thought they were going to heaven because they kept the law or the parts of it that they wanted to. Or they made the appearance before men that they kept the law. We know that we're incapable of keeping the law perfectly. Therefore, our confidence is not in what we've done, but what the Son of God has done for us and in us. The Lord will perform, will continue the work that He has begun in us until the day of Christ in His people. Be very thankful for those things. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. That appears to be a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus when he's on the cross, when he's before Pilate's, in Pilate's hall, being judged. Excuse me. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. They did not have a cause to crucify Christ, but they made them up. They dealt perversely with Christ. And this seems to be what David is referring to. And I'm sure to himself also, as you know, Ahithophel and others, David's own children, how they turned upon him and dealt perversely with him without a cause. David had not done the things to them that would cause them to do that way. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Doesn't matter what other people do. I'm not going to allow that to control what I do. The Word of God must control what we do at all times. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The sound in thy statutes, or sound in thy word, let my heart be solid or firm in the word of God, to keep me from straying, to keep me from sinning, to keep me from being displeasing unto God, to keep me from bringing shame and reproach upon my fellow church members. The Lord himself may keep me sound, my heart be solid and firm, constant in the word of God, in his testimonies, in his statutes, that I be not ashamed, that I don't bring shame upon the church, and I don't bring shame upon God, that I don't cause heathens to blaspheme because I called myself a Christian and then live like the devil. And David's praying. He's coming before the throne of grace and asking God, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let the proud be ashamed. Those are all prayers. Let thy tender mercies come unto me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be a comfort unto me, or for my comfort. All of that is David before the throne of grace pleading with God for these things to happen. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, that they turn unto David, not turn against him. But those that fear the Lord, turn to David, or turn to the Son of God, that we might find help. To turn to the Spirit of God, that we might find help in our time of need, and grace in our time of need. And those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. I think we can continue on here for just a little bit. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Meaning my soul fainteth for thy salvation, or it longs for thy salvation. We long for the salvation of our body, soul, and spirit. Even though we know that we are saved, we're not yet. We haven't died yet. We haven't gone to heaven yet. Even though we are saved, it hasn't physically happened. just like when Christ had not physically come. Didn't matter to the saints of the Old Testament. It was just as sure as though he had already done it. And that's what it said in Revelation 13:8. The Lamb, as though he were slain from the foundation of the world. It was as though it had already happened as far as God was concerned, as far as those Old Testament saints were concerned. It was done, but yet he had not come. Well, our salvation is firm. Our salvation is sure, though it has not yet come. When we rise from the, or when we take our last breath, then our souls will go to be with the Lord. And when the last day comes, our bodies will reunite with our souls. And our bodies will be glorified at that time. So my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My confidence is in the word of God, in the promises that he has promised, the things that are to come, eternal bliss and happiness and eternal life, ruling and reigning with him. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I'm sure when David was running from his children and from those that were put him to flight, and also even in his old age, mine eyes fail for thy word. David, growing very old and about to depart, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Or when, Lord, will you give me comfort or peace concerning this thing? Or maybe even death itself, but especially when he was in flight. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They have almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Again, this seems to be a prophecy concerning the Messiah himself while he's on this earth. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. It's not hard for a believer to get discouraged when he's surrounded with ungodliness, when he's surrounded with persecution, when he's surrounded with trials and tribulations. It's not hard for a believer to become discouraged. It's not hard for him to have to cry out to God and say, Lord, when will you comfort me? When will you give me some peace here? Those that are doing me wrong and those that have turned against me, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And you know as well as I that those things come upon us, and the wicked are come upon us, one, because the Lord said they would. And he said, rejoice and be glad when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, because so have they done all the prophets of old, and so did they do the Lord. And Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, so will they persecute you. So be glad. Don't get discouraged because of those things, but rejoice and be glad when those things come upon us. Even though it's not delightful unto us and it's not a pleasant time in our lives when those things come upon us, especially when they seem to be coming from every side and all the fiery darts of the wicked are coming at us, but it is a rejoiceful time. It is a time to rejoice and to be glad because the Lord is strengthening us. He is supporting us. He is helping us. So it's a good time. We'll stop there for today and start there at verse 89. Verse 89 is a very wonderful verse, one to be remembered, one to be memorized and quoted on a regular regular time. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Lord God, bless the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed from the Bible.